is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours, it will be ours. Oh, one day, when the war is won, we will be sure, we will be sure.
The heavens, no man, no weapon formed against, yes, glory is destined. Everyday women and men become legends. Sins that go against our skin become blessings. The movement is a rhythm to us. Freedom is like religion to us. Justice is juxtapositioning us. Justice for all just ain't specific enough. One son died, his spirit is revisiting us. True and living, living in us.
Good morning. Welcome to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Stephen Miller, thank you so much for joining me. I don't know, it feels a little bit earlier than it really is. Like, I know it's 11 o'clock, but I don't know, it feels kind of 9 o'clock-ish. I'm supposed to be having a conversation this morning with Dr. Yashika Seymour. She is going to be from the Ministry of Health, and today we're going to be talking briefly about immunization and what it is that you need to do your part to ensure that we live in an immunized society, how it is the Department of Health or the Ministry of Health is going to direct and lead that policy, and exactly what is the outcome, how do you access it, who should access it, when should you access it, et cetera, et cetera. So I don't know if she is on the line as yet. I don't hear her, but if she is,
I am.
How are you, Doctor?
I am great. How are you?
You must have had your mic muted because there's no way you could just be that quiet.
When I need to be, yes, I am.
Okay, well, there you have it. I'm so happy to have you. Well, good morning. Welcome to Unleashed on Guardian Radio 96.9. So tell us what exactly is happening over there. What exactly is the Ministry of Health trying to achieve? And how is it that the general public can be involved?
Okay, great. So what the Ministry of Health is trying to do with this campaign is we are trying to maximize the amount of persons in our population that have been adequately vaccinated against preventable diseases.
What are the lists?
It seems. Pardon?
What are the list of, when you say preventable diseases, what's on that list?
Okay, right. So starting as early as 2 months, what we vaccinate against is, so these are different bacteria and viruses. So diphtheria, pertussis, tetanus. We also vaccinate against something called pneumococcal bacteria. It's a strain of a bacteria that within the pediatric and the elderly population, it causes a lot of chest infections, which we call pneumonia. It also causes a lot of air infections. It can even cause something called meningitis, which is where you would have an infection around the lining of the brain. And anything involving the brain, as you can appreciate, would be very severe. Mm-hmm. And so basically, we're trying to prevent these illnesses from occurring in our population by basically giving patients vaccines, and therefore it helps boost their immune system. So should they get exposed to this particular virus or in some cases bacteria, their immune system is already kind of you know, prepped and prepared for it, and so is able to combat it. And you could appreciate, we are actually not, our country, as wealthy as we like to think we are not limitless. We have limited resources. Mm-hmm. And so in a situation such as what we're faced with now, this pandemic, which has not been seen before, we want to make sure that our population is as healthy as they can be as we deal with this. So the Ministry of Health is pretty much just trying to make sure we have all of our soldiers, which is ourselves, as healthy as we can be.
Okay.
During this pandemic.
Now, whenever you say soldier, you know, I grew up in the Church of God. So when you say soldier, I just think in the army of the Lord.
In the army of the Lord.
In the army of the Lord, yeah. But so tell us, right? Generally, though, in the Bahamas, vaccinations, as far as I am aware, in the circles that I run in, are pretty general things. Like, people aren't typically not vaccinating. Is that you know, I mean, people find being inoculated as a general practice in the Bahamas, isn't that so? Or are there still people out there that grapple with the idea of vaccination? I know when you look at countries like America, predominantly, there are people that believe in the hoax of vaccinations and blah, blah, blah. But generally in the Bahamas, I mean, aren't Bahamians generally comfortable with vaccinations?
So I will say yes and no. It's kind of a two-part answer. Mm-hmm. So historically, yes, we used to vaccinate. But when you look at our numbers, the target that we're trying to get to is 95% of the population to be vaccinated.
Okay.
Depending on the vaccine that you're talking about, we're probably in some of them 60, 65%. Mm. And the highest we have is probably 80 to 88% of our population that's vaccinated.
Mm.
So historically, we are a little bit behind.
88%, you said, Doc?
Is the maximum that we have in terms of our population.
Okay.
Because remember, you have to look at each vaccine. I think it's MMR and varicella where we're now around about 88%. But once again, I said the target is 95%. So we're not quite there yet.
Okay.
We're not quite there. But we can get there.
Okay.
With the pandemic, though, because we were always on lockdown and everybody, you know, wants to minimize interacting with other people and we're doing our social distancing, you can appreciate that will cause the numbers to kind of, if not go down, at least kind of plateau, because less people are going out for their wellness visits or their healthcare visits in order to get the vaccines that they need to.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing I actually do want to plug in right here is that we tend to always feel like the vaccinations are for children. I am a pediatrician and yes, go pediatrics.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, it is a very important part of the growth and development and health of a pediatric patient.
Mm-hmm.
But there are vaccines that adults are supposed to get also.
Okay.
So as an adult, we need to make sure we get our tetanus vaccines.
Mm-hmm.
We now have the human papillomavirus. Menactra. There's the Menactra, which is a very bad bug, especially with college students. You want to make sure you get that meningococcal vaccines.
Mm-hmm.
So we also need to be aware of the fact that vaccinations, and I cannot forget the flu vaccine, but just be aware of the fact that it is not only something for children, but as adults, we have to make sure that we're adequately vaccinated.
And so, Dr. Seymour, tell me, right, because there are people like me that say, man, every time I take a vaccination, I remember there was this time I traveled for school and they gave me some vaccination shots, etc. And it may have been my mind. It may not have been, but I feel like they made me sick. What do you say to people like me that says, man, I can't take this because these things make me feel bad?
Okay. So the first thing I want to do is I do have to admit, yes, vaccines have side effects.
Mm-hmm.
And so your immune system is dormant. It's just kind of there.
Mm-hmm.
There are different parts of it. But what we are trying to do is the one that responds the fastest
mm-hmm.
and the one that can get the best response, the most bang for our buck. We're basically trying to prime that immune system. And so if you actually have those symptoms, then we know that your immune system has been primed.
Okay.
And so don't necessarily look at it as a bad thing. Now, of course, you want to outweigh the risk and benefits. So don't necessarily, but don't look at it as a bad thing. But it's basically where we know that your immune system is actually mounting a response.
Mm-hmm.
And we would like to see that. And then the hope, obviously, is that when you are faced with the wild type, when you're faced with the actual infection,
mm-hmm.
your immune system has been so primed that instead of you being sick and having to be in hospital for 10 days, it may be something where you may not even need to be admitted to hospital because your immune system is fighting it off so effectively and efficiently.
Okay. You know, one of the things that usually, one of the major hurdles to all healthcare is cost of healthcare, right? Like that is the most paramount, most prevalent issue with regards to any form of healthcare. Are vaccines costly or are they of no cost to people?
So at a national level, vaccines are costly because the government does have to buy them. But
mm-hmm.
the beautiful thing in our country is that it can be at no cost to the individual.
So no out-of-pocket cost.
No out-of-pocket cost once you go to our public clinics. So you pretty much just find a clinic that's closest to where you live. You find out, you know, when you can come in and make an appointment to get your vaccines. And you go, you get your vaccines. It's documented and that is it. So finances is not an excuse, I should say, because the Ministry of Health has made itself available to the public where they can get their vaccines for free.
One other question, Doc. Okay, go on.
Mm-hmm, go ahead. No, I was going to say, you also have generally, definitely every pediatrician and your adult clinics. Yes, they do have vaccines. Those will be a cost. But like I said, once again, the Ministry of Health does provide vaccines for everyone free of charge.
Now, hopefully I don't hit this one too far into left field for you, Doc. But I know that there has been some evolution in the healthcare system in the Bahamas, particularly over the last, I'd say, 7 years with the introduction of NHI, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And of course, you know, that has now taken public medicine into private clinics. So if my understanding is correct, there are some benefits to being assigned as an NHI patient. Are vaccines covered as NHI patients? Because you may have someone that says, I don't have a bunch of money, but I also don't have a bunch of time. So I cannot go to, let's say, the Fleming Street Clinic. However, I am an NHI registrant, and as such, maybe I can have this facilitated is that an accommodation that is possible?
Okay, so with regards to the NHI question, I actually am going to say maybe we should invite someone who's actually a part of the committee to answer that question. My understanding is that yes, it will encompass it, but I cannot say. I cannot confirm that when they go, let's say if they choose Dr. X and goes to Dr. X as their NHI provider, that they will have the vaccine.
Okay.
I would kind of defer that question to someone who's actually a part of the committee and how they actually organize it.
Okay, and so you say they're all government clinics have them for free, though.
Absolutely.
Do they have a time that they actually do vaccinations? Like, is it like Planned Parenting clinic where you only can go on Thursdays, or is it you can go any day?
So I can tell you, according to the pediatrics, they have a schedule.
Okay.
So they will. So that's why I'm saying call first.
Okay.
Just because, you know, nobody wants to go outside if they don't have to. But call first to find out what the schedule is, to find out when you can take your child or yourself to go and get the necessary vaccines.
Okay. Dr. Yashika Seymour. Did I get that name right?
You absolutely did.
Yeah, listen, it's what happens when you have a difficult name like Levin. People don't ever get it right. So I get a little bit of practice with the letter Y. You see, I know Y does very strange things.
Gotcha. No, you did a great job.
Thank you very much, Doctor, for joining us. Is there anything else you'd like to add before you get out of here?
No, I just want to encourage the public that please take advantage of the resources that we do have, and we all have to do our part to make ourselves healthy and our country that much closer to being where we need to be from a healthcare standpoint.
Thank you very much, Dr. Yashika Seymour. You've been perfect. This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. I'm Levin Miller. It's Unleashed. Don't go anywhere. I'm going to the break. When I get back, I've got the people's candidate in the studio with me this morning. You know him as the Member of Parliament for Centerville. Some people know him as Rhys Chipman. He's my guest. We'll be right back after the break.
When the glory comes, it will be ours. It will be ours. Oh, one day, when the war is won, we will be
Jackie. Jackie's a hard worker with a steady income, but she has a personal loan and multiple credit cards to pay off. To keep her account current, Jackie opted for a loan from Fidelity Bank to consolidate her debt into one monthly payment and earn interest on a built-in savings account. Be like Jackie. Call 356-7764 to book a complimentary financial coaching session. Fidelity also offers virtual assistance. Fidelity, we're good for you.
For the past 33 years, Great Commission Ministries has been defending the poor and hurting, feeding the hungry, and sheltering the homeless. We invite you to support our Live to Give program and make a difference in these challenging times. Become a donor by giving a one-time annual gift or a monthly donation of $50 or $100. Call Great Commission Ministries at 325-5801 for more details. Or visit our headquarters at 237 Wolf Road. Join Live to Give today. This public service announcement is proudly sponsored by this radio station.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours, it will be ours. Oh, one day, when the war is won, we will be sure, we will be sure. Oh, glory,
glory, glory.
Oh,
glory, glory.
Hands to the heavens, no man, no weapon.
Good morning and welcome back. It's Levin Miller. I'm Unleashed on your radio. It's Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Thank you so much for joining me. Reese Chipman, good morning.
Good morning, Levon, and good morning to the Bahamas. Good morning, Centerville. Centerville is in the house.
I see a lot has been happening around the people's house, Reese. Let's just get right into it. You've been an independent member now for how long?
It was October 10th of 2019, so about a year and a half.
Okay, about a year and a half. Yeah. And what has kept you out as an independent candidate so long?
Well, you know, the thing is, I'm not only an independent member of parliament, I'm also an independent thinker. Mm-hmm. And they could be somewhat different when put in perspective.
Sure.
What has kept me out is that I saw no move towards democracy. I saw no move towards representing the people mm-hmm. in terms of any of the parties. Quite frankly, I'm just not interested in partisan politics if mm-hmm. it's not in the best interest of the people.
Sure.
And so I've stayed out because nothing has attracted me.
So you're not on the outside because you're an outcast. That's
Oh no, not at all. I mean, I believe I'm on the outside because the people of Centerville prefer me to be where I'm at. They feel as if they have given the Free National Movement and the Progressive Liberal Party an opportunity to represent them, and they feel disappointed. And so I think they feel quite championed in the fact that I am an independent thinker, and I represent them because they are independent people. Mm. I mean, the people of Centerville are quite independent. They have had to struggle and make it throughout the many, many years of both administrations, mm. promising them this and promising them that. You know, the single mother who is fighting down there for her children to have a good education and also just to eat. The people that are homeless who are trying to find a place to stay. There's no party that's coming to their rescue. Mm-hmm. There's no government that is. And so when you look at the overall social issues that are impacting Centerville, independent is really the way to go because it's the only way that they themselves will find out the capacity and the potential that they have to make it happen without party politics.
Well, I have to give you my bias on it, Reese. My bias on it is that I do commend you for maintaining your independent
Thank
stance.
You.
I will say that I don't think that you, pardon the expression, pissed away an opportunity, as in the case of Andre Rollins and even in the case of Renwood Wells, okay. when they both became independents. But they literally 5 months or thereabout later, they kind of hauled tail and went into a party. We see the same thing with Vaughn Miller. Mm-hmm. I think when a man makes a stand to become an independent,
right.
unless there is an ideological methodology change or some sort of psychological change, mm-hmm. there is no way that he could just simply move to the other party, right? So either the ideology of the party should have changed, the psychology of the party should have changed, or the methodology of the party should have changed. And if none of those things have changed, but this man has, then certainly he has to be an independent, and that cannot be a 2 month or 3 month process, right?
Oh, absolutely.
So I commend you in that stand.
Thank you.
I have noticed, though, mm-hmm. that since you are defecting, which is what they would report it as, mm-hmm. From the Free National Movement, there's been a lot of movement in and around the parliament. You see that there's now an independent speaker. There was an independent member for Golden Isles. People may say that you inspire or motivate people like a Frederick McElpine, who is not an independent, but appears to be very independently minded. Mm-hmm. Never before in my recollection of politics in the Bahamas, have we seen so much dissent in an established organization where people are saying, yes, I am a supporter of, or yes, I may be a part of, or yes, I do support the ideology of. However,
Right.
When it comes to my people, this thing will not fly. And so let me commend you for that.
Thank you.
But how do you feel like you have contributed to things like the recent ruling by the speaker with regards to the PAC? Because I know that that is something that you had kind of heralded for quite some time.
Yeah, you know, I first of all, let me thank the people of Centerville for allowing me to be a part of this process. And I call it, you know, a process of liberation.
Sure.
I mean, sometimes what happens when you are outside and you're miseducated and also you're given a narrative, you tend to believe that it really was about democracy. But once you get in there, you realize that the parliament itself is not a democratic place. It's, and I always call it in my speeches, fake democracy.
Mm-hmm.
I call it fake democracy because it has this ideology of democracy, but the practice is not democratic. It's very dictatorial.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yes, once I was a part of the Public Accounts Committee, I embraced the opportunity to help to bring the country to the next level by way of accountability and transparency through the Public Accounts Committee. We found that, Centerville found that we weren't getting anywhere with the Public Accounts Committee.
Mm-hmm.
We were requesting documents and no documents were being made available.
Mm-hmm.
And so the chairman of the committee requested documents time and time again.
Who is that?
That's Brave Davis.
Okay.
It's an opposition chair committee.
Mm-hmm.
What happened after about 2 years, I realized that it wasn't getting anywhere. And I realized why. I mean, the former speaker of the House ruled that unless a document has been tabled or has tabled in the House
and by a minister.
By a minister, but has most importantly had to have been reviewed by the Auditor General,
mm-hmm.
then we could not see it.
Mm.
And that is not a conflict with regards to terms of reference of the PAC.
Sure.
The PAC is one of the most important committees of the House because
sure.
it shows accountability,
right.
It shows democracy, it shows that the Parliament is working on behalf of the people. I didn't think the Progressive Liberal Party pushed the issue of the Public Accounts Committee sufficiently. I think they could have come to the Parliament and pushed for the former speaker's ruling to be overthrown. They
mm-hmm.
didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And so my resignation was definitely a symbol of, you know, letting younger persons know and the wider public know that something is definitely wrong with the Parliament.
Mm-hmm.
And so it brought a lot more attention and education to the Public Accounts Committee. What the speaker did in his independence was mm-hmm. he overruled the former speaker's ruling,
mm-hmm.
which really restored the Public Accounts Committee to where it ought to be.
Mm-hmm.
Now, will they stay with it the way it is, which I think should happen, or will they not? With a short time to election. You know, Levon, for Centerville, any party that does not embrace an independent Speaker of the House, who also is the independent chairman of the Boundaries Commission,
mm-hmm.
really is not serious about the growth of this country or about national development.
Mm-hmm.
That independent chair signifies not only diversification, but it signifies democracy, it signifies independence, and it signifies national growth and development. And so I'm very happy about it.
So you are not one of those people then that suggest or say that if you had resigned the party and this was the party's appointment, then you should have resigned the speakership as well? No,
I agree with the speaker on that. I don't think he should have resigned the seat because the ideology of the Westminster model, the ideology actually of political development and political growth, national development, national growth, really is about having an independent speaker. So systemically,
mm-hmm.
the position should be independent.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we have done is made it a position that the governing party is able to control.
A token seat.
And a token seat. Mm-hmm. And that's really not what the framers of the Speaker of the House wanted it to be.
Mm-hmm.
And so, no, I agree with him that, you know, if you are not in congruence with the party, separate yourself. But no, I believe he should stay there as an independent speaker. And I think that parties should embrace an independent speaker because that means they're embracing a new way for the younger and the next generation of Bahamians.
Now, this independent mindset that you talk about, Reese Chipman, you know, people in the Bahamas see independence in the parliament as something that amounts to about clangling cymbals. They feel like independents, they don't have enough reach, they don't have enough wherewithal, they do not have enough resources. But, I mean, you know, sometimes, to my estimation, independent candidates can, if at the very least, be a voice of reason because they have no obligation. They speak for the people. There's no party line to toe. Are you satisfied that you are seeing the kind of effect as an independent candidate with such a supermajority in the parliament as you thought you could have as an independent? When your utterances are made, do you think they affect the larger parliament mm-hmm. and even the wider society in a way that I envision you would hope it does?
Yes, and this is where I think I would definitely give some kudos to the Progressive Liberal Party and to the Free National Movement in the parliament. I think both have embraced the independent way of thinking. I mean, I have noticed that many debates that I participate in, sometimes I get one side support, sometimes I get both sides supporting mm-hmm. it. And so there is this thrust of an understanding of embracing the independent thinker. However, it needs to go a little further into the systemic approach to independence, which is where the speaker seat remains independent. But I think, Livon, as a country, we need to realize that we're all in this together and we all can work together for a better country. Independent thinkers, it doesn't mean that, it means that I'm independent of party politics, mm-hmm. but it doesn't mean I'm independent of collective responsibility. Mm-hmm. And so there is this collective responsibility and governance that has to take place, and one person can't do it all. Mm-hmm. And so I appreciate what parties would have brought to the table in some respects over the years, and some a lot of it I can't. You know, the independent person, you know, thinks about his people and representation of the people before he thinks of collective responsibility. Mm-hmm. We think about governing for the people, by the people, and with the people. You know, we believe in democracy. Mm-hmm. Just don't believe in no form of dictatorship, you know, because if we're going to embrace a new Bahamas, or a Bahamas that's able to take care of our people in the way that we believe it can, in terms of education, healthcare, social, the social aspects of it, and also career paths and development, then we need to, we cannot embrace dictatorship. It's quite the opposite to me. And then finally, you know, in terms of the independent mind or the independent thinker, it's just that we don't believe in exploiting the majority of the people for the minority. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty much what it boils down to. It boils down to thinking about the people, thinking about this public service that you've put yourself in, and realize that it's not about you. Mm-hmm. It's a bigger picture, and we just need to take it to where it needs to go.
Now, Reese, while I am quite fascinated by the Westminster model, right, I am blown away at the machinations of the Westminster model and how the Westminster model is a system entirely built on an honor system where men are honorable because they're expected to do honorable things like resign in matters of conflict, et cetera, et cetera. I cannot help but think to myself, though, about the affinity I have towards American politics, right?
Okay.
Where a lot of things are done, some of it contoured and could actually be considered not necessarily good things. But what you find is you have a leader, and while he may have dictatorial powers, mm-hmm. you find that in American politics, the art and the skill of negotiation and lobbying becomes major tools in getting things done. So you see the oil companies are able to get legislation passed, and you see the solar companies that are completely opposite to the oil companies able to get legislation passed in their direction that makes their industry better. As recent as the other day, the impeachment trial, right? There are senators in the U.S. Senate that are saying, listen, Donald Trump incited this riot. Yet, you find, I believe, through lobbying, they are able to sway the vote in a way that comes or results in a certain outcome. What do you say to people like me that may say, you know, the difficulty that I have in the parliament with people that complain that it is a dictatorial system is that they have just not found a way to be crafty with the art of negotiation. Because if you can negotiate or if you can lobby, you can kind of get anything done in the parliament. And I find that that is a shortfall with a lot of people that practice politics in the Bahamas. Where are you on that?
Well, I mean, you would think you can get some things done. That would be what you would think before you get in there. But when you get in there, if the executive has the majority, then it's pretty much their way or the highway. And so, you know, I think that that is one of the issues we have, Levon, in our country. And this is why this position I've taken is that we must educate our people. I mean, if you look at the level of democracy in places like the USA, it starts with even on the local level, with local governments, with municipalities, even with districts, which include school districts, etc. There is this people participation in the vote. And so when we go to the parliament, I feel it should be the same. There should be the people's participation in the vote. In our parliament, it seems like our politicians or the governments, when they become government, they forget what they even said to the people. And they cannot, and they almost speak the opposite of what they spoke on the campaign trail. Again, it's misguided public policy because it's narrative that's sold to the people. We're not given the strength we need to make an impression on the majority of us. And so when you have leadership that selects the people to run in any constituency they want them to run in, even though these participants in these constituencies aren't from that constituency, they know no one in the constituency, they were just put there by leaders, that turns into a dictatorship model. Because then, of course, like the AG had said one time, your vote is mortgaged to the party. And I disagreed with that. But that's really the belief system of the party system in the Bahamas. And so we could get stuff done by way of educating the people in as much as we can. I had select committees on the docket for almost 3 years, and no one bought into them. You know, I wanted a select committee on the Quieting Titles Act, the Derrick Rolle King matter, the natural resources, and these were sitting there, and I couldn't get the support I needed, even though I did lobby. What happened next was I looked and I saw that we could bring a petition. And so I went, I got the 25 signatures from the Bahamas Natural Natural Resources Foundation, who supported a petition to put to the House. So what I did was I used ways to put pressure on the system to push for the Select Committee on Natural Resources. And that's just one of four that I got there. But when we got to a point where there was a vote on the emergency order, because they needed a unanimous vote, and I refused to vote for it unless they bring the Natural Resources Committee forward, that's how the Natural Resources Committee got to the floor. It was because I refused to vote for the emergency order unless they say they agreed to the natural resources, and they did. And so there are ways to lobby. The impact of the lobbying, however, I think is more impactful when we at the same time are educating our people. And I just feel so good about what I'm doing in the House of Parliament. I feel good about being there because I believe it's an opportunity for the Bahamian people to learn more, to identify with more, and to know that we'll be going higher. You know, it's just higher. We just got to look at what's ahead of us and do the best we can to make sure the differences are made in order to put us in a position to do the best we can.
Now let's talk about the Select Committee on Natural Resources. We know that that has recently been established. it was designed in an interesting way. I watched a little bit of it when the speaker had actually gave the, I think it's the ruling that the Select Committee would be formed, etc. To my understanding, based on the speaker's words, what should have happened was that Rees Chipman should have chaired the Select Committee.
Yes.
later on, some things happened, and I read the newspaper, and Michael Foulkes was now the chairman of the Select Committee. If it was the baby birth in the belly of Rees Chipman, something that came out of the bosom of Rees Chipman, why not do what you could to hold on to the chairmanship?
Well, the thing is, it is about you get to the room, mm-hmm. right? We know the Westminster model. As a matter of fact, I'd already sent out a correspondence as chairman mm-hmm. because the Westminster model requires that the person who brings it to the floor mm-hmm. or who moved the motion should be the chairman. We got into the first meeting, and the Free National Movement, in terms of following the rules, came in and moved the motion and seconded Michael Foulkes. So basically, I don't think they wanted an independent person as the chair of the committee. The issue with that, though, is Mr. Foulkes is a Free National Movement member. The government is FNM, so you might as well just get the, you might as well just be a committee of the FNM unto itself. So once the rule, because, I believe in following the rules, mm-hmm. and the rule book does allow for them to overthrow the Westminster announced chairman. Mm-hmm. And so even though Mr. Moultrie would have called my name first, which means take the bull by the horn and mm-hmm. start running with it, I was voted out as the chairman of the committee. And basically maybe because the Free National Movement wanted to lead it.
Doesn't that put pee in the pool, though? I mean, doesn't that taint the organic goodness of the committee? Like, doesn't that make people have suspicions or apprehensions about the efficacy of the committee and what it can do, what it will do, what it will attempt to do? I imagine that at the very least, right, optics alone being considered, to have an independent member sit as the chair, and I'm not saying Mr. Foulkes isn't doing a good job, I actually have no clue what he's doing, but to have an independent chair in an instance where the public is crying for attention to be paid to natural resources, do you not imagine that it would have been, even if only for optics alone, a better look for that to be chaired by the longest standing independent member in the parliament?
Well, I mean, I think so. I mean, that mm-hmm. would have been, I would have supported that. Mm-hmm. However, when you look at partisan politics and coming into an election year, mm-hmm. I'm sure they probably wanted to carry a message of natural resources and their support for it at some point.
What about the skepticism created, though?
Well, the skepticism is real. Mm-hmm. I hope that the Bahamian people listen and they see the changes and understand that these political moves are very important to a democracy. They're important to democracy because it allows us to see physically mm-hmm. what we're voting for. Not what someone is telling us to vote for or not what somebody promises us. This is what you're seeing. Look at your parliament. Look at their representation. Look what they're doing to the select committees. Mm-hmm. Look at what they're doing to your petitions. Look at what they're doing to your house rules. I mean, the speaker became independent. That is monumental. Mm-hmm. That is historical. That is something I believe in. It isn't about him and his character. And, it's a systemic change that took place in the House of Assembly. And I'm just proud to be a part of that. And a part of that time. And I think that what we need to do is pay attention to these things. Mm-hmm. Because if we voted based on, we cannot vote anymore on promises. Because most of them come to us and they tell us, this is what we will do for you. This is what we will do. But they can't tell you how they will do it. Mm-hmm. And so I believe that we have to find certain key things to zoom in on before we get into the polls this go around. Mm-hmm. And we're not zooming in on a bunch of political narratives anymore because you put things in your manifesto that you don't even follow. So
I don't even think they read them.
And I don't think, I actually don't think the leaders read them because they seem not to be in congruence with their own presentation in terms of manifesto and physical reports. But what we need to do as a people is look at the House of Parliament and you look at these changes, take note, because if they're acting like that in there, then it just doesn't trickle down. And so we're going to just get less and less and less. One of the biggest issues, Levon, that the Bahamians need to pay attention to, and I just, you know, I'm just an advocate for it, is legislating on behalf of the Bahamian people. They sell us one bunch of policies, mm-hmm. right? But they never legislate for the Bahamian people. Mm-hmm. They will speak the policy, mm-hmm. but you will never see it in the law.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? It came to my attention when the stimulus package mm-hmm. was done by Donald Trump. It was legislated.
Mm-hmm.
That means, if it's in legislation, yeah. I could go to the courts
yes.
and get my money.
And it is also very well articulated. You know, who gets what, when they get absolutely. It, how they get it, which...
Correct.
Yeah.
But here in the Bahamas, we sell a bunch of policies. $20 million was going to social services. $10 million, $15 million. We don't even know where that's
yep.
gone.
Yep.
The people, I know the people of Santa Villa, they're just so disappointed. I think disappointed in governments, period.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because they run you around in circles for this couple of dollars at social services. To a point, Levon, where you just get tired going. And it's yeah. not only Centerville constituency, because professionals are battling as well.
Yeah, yeah.
They don't know where to go to save that mortgage, to keep that child in school mm-hmm. over in the States, wherever the children are. Mm-hmm. And this is a position we shouldn't be in. I mean, we have to be, you know, it's like you know, in struggle mode.
Yeah.
You know, all your life. Like, when do you actually hit retirement and say, wow, I think I've done my part?
Let's talk about that, Reese, right? Because people are going to say, you know, Reese Chipman is having some pie in the sky dream. He's talking about all of the processes of parliament. And really and truly, those things do not materialize on the ground. People can't eat parliamentary procedure. People cannot eat select committees being tabled. So that kind of stuff that Reese Chipman is talking about, that also doesn't materialize into breadbasket items. People will also say that, you know, Reese Chipman is somebody that entered frontline politics, I think it was in 2002. Was that the first time, or was it 97?
2007.
All right. And so we don't know when he has become so opposed to frontline partisan politics. He's contested in the seat against none less than a prime minister on two occasions for a political party. Reese Chipman now sounds like he wants 39 independents in the House of Assembly, and that could very well turn into a catastrophe. Who will lead the 39? What will be the direction or the policy direction of the 39? And even if they were to get all 39 of them, wouldn't that then turn into a party and not just independent people with independent minds? People will also say, Reese, with his own admission, the economy of the Bahamas is in dire straits. People are starving. Many of them cannot educate their children that they've already committed to international tertiary institutions. Why then not trust the established organizations that people have had successes with over the years? Why then not allow the partisan politics that has been the norm to continue? At the very least, people get contracts out of these things, and those contracts, they find their way to the ground. At the very least, people get kickbacks, or people get appointments, et cetera, et cetera. And those appointments and kickbacks, they find their way on the ground. And that actually materializes into breadbasket items. But this fanciful nonsense that Reese is running on with, it doesn't turn into anything more than neat textbook stuff. What do you say to that, Reese Chipman?
Well, you know, the thing is, I can appreciate those comments, mm-hmm. you know, and because, you know, when you have lived a system for a very long time, or lived through a system, and it has also become a part of our political culture, you get overwhelmed. You mm-hmm. almost you get fearful of the politics, the politicians that you may not eat if you don't find a party line. You know, I think I am evidence of that, being in an independent, and of course not being at the in any position to have as much funds as the others. And that's okay, because I believe in something bigger than myself. But, you know, when you talk about 39 candidates, no, I mean, Reese Chipman, Centerville, personally, you know, I will be supporting about five
okay.
to seven independent candidates. Mm-hmm. That's what we will be doing, mm-hmm. right? It's not about, for me, 39 seats and being the government. It's about holding the government accountable, okay. and ensuring that they communicate with all and sundry mm-hmm. in order to get a bill passed. Mm-hmm. And so if we can get seven independent candidates in the House and the gap is narrowed, then that means that if you want something passed, you have to
come lobby, come negotiate.
Come lobby, and you have to approach mm-hmm. independent thinkers. Mm-hmm. And so that is the approach. The issue of the contracts and people getting that, and yes, food being on the ground, I think that played a good role. Mm-hmm. However, you know, to me, I find that to be not as sustainable mm-hmm. as I would like to see it. See, so you're giving person's contracts, and that's good. But when you're holding or dangling the contract in front of them and just to get a vote, mm-hmm. when your schools are dilapidated and there's still 35 children to a class, and there's, uncompromising positions with regards to our school system. The children in Centerville have been out of school for over a year.
Right.
I mean, these are areas where children need to be face-to-face. Mm-hmm. I mean, these aren't areas where they go home and there's internet and Wi-Fi and even a device. And so I think that when we embrace where we have come from and who we are as a people, we have to look at the bigger picture. Mm-hmm. You know, it's okay to get the contract. I think if we had the right people in government, a contract, these $1,000 a month contracts, you know, we could increase those, improve on those. Mm-hmm. When you're borrowing billions of dollars and then you are taking the contracts away from the people, that's a problem. You know, I mean, if you're going to borrow billions of dollars, at least increase the minimum wage, mm-hmm. at least be held responsible to the unions that you promised that you would pay. Be responsible to the public servants who are still not paid their pension and still out there going to your offices over and over again, just seeking payment for what they would have done. Mm-hmm. So we have to embrace, leave on a bigger picture, a picture of sustainability, of generational wealth. And I don't think that the issue of contracts, it's a good thing, you know, and yes, it is something that will allow for the current situation to have some relief. But we are bigger than that. We're better than that. And we hope that the next elections will prove that the people understand that they're worth more than that.
I'm going to give up the numbers because I don't want people to say that I protected you in this.
No.
We had no agreement that I wouldn't take calls. It's just that I had the slot this morning with the Department of Eldon.
No, that's okay.
And so I wanted to make sure I gave you as much time as possible. The numbers are 323-6232-325-4316-325-4259. The lines are open. We've got about 5 minutes. You can text me, 422-4796. I have a text right here, Reese, that's saying, leaving when they took the chairmanship on natural resources from Mr. Chipman, it was to put it the closest to be forgotten. The FNM have no real desire to see Bahamians actually benefit from our natural resources. Hi, if the globalists can do that to Trump, what do you think they can do to the Bahamian parliament? Okay. The dictatorship models comes from the fact that the entire political party machinery and its governance structure becomes government machinery when a party wins. Hence, the leader is mm-hmm. all powerful. And I think we see a little bit of that happening now with nominations and ratifications. It is still laughable to me that y'all have Dwayne Sands struggling. This is a sidebar. This has nothing to do with Reese. If I was Dwayne, I was going to tell y'all to play with y'all ma and not with me. Let's take a phone call. Good morning, caller. You're on. Caller, you're on.
Good morning, Levan.
Hey.
Good morning, my brother, Reese Chipman.
Good morning, sir. Good morning.
Two very quick questions here. Minimum wage. I think we need to move away from the minimum wage and now turn that into a livable wage.
Yes, agree.
In your estimation, based upon what you see on the landscape right now, what would you consider to be a favorable, livable wage for the average Bahamian who has given their lives in particular to a lot of these businesses? helping to grow them in prosperity, but yet only get pennies on the dollar? What would you consider to be a good livable wage? Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you very much.
That's a very good question. And, what I do know, I mean, is that the minimum wage has to be, we have to consider increasing it. We have to look at, there are some factors I think we have to look at. Because if I look at Centerville, for example, we're looking at people who have been working for government for 10, 15, 20 years mm-hmm. and is still getting the minimum wage. Mm-hmm. They are expected to have families with 3 to 4 children and still live on the 210 thereabouts.
Many of them are also not permanent or pensionable.
And many are not permanent pensionable. Mm-hmm. And so what you have is a revolving system of, poverty, really, because it is below, I think that the minimum wage is really too low in a country like this, where we are billions of dollars in GDP, and also we're borrowing at a rate that is just unimaginable. And so when you look at the livable wage, I think there are quite a number of things we have to consider. And so I wouldn't want to say exactly what amount I would think of. I just know that it will definitely increase. It should increase. And I'm hoping that the powers to be put that in their agenda for the upcoming session.
323-622-3235-4316-325-4259. I'm talking to Reese Chipman. Reese Chipman, you sound like you are minded to have what I have deemed a coalition-type government in the House of Assembly. You've outrightly admitted that Reese Chipman will be supporting and or possibly endorsing 5 to 7 independents, right?
Yes.
To my mind, and because my brain does this, my brain thinks about the best ways for those kinds of things to work. Let us say you get 7, right? There are 39 mm-hmm. seats in Parliament. That would then leave 32 seats. That would then mean that if you got 7, the best case scenario would be for there to be as even a margin as possible between the opposition and the government.
Absolutely.
All right? Because that there is where the lobby power will come from at the independents.
Correct.
So how do you then see the 5 to 7 independents, again, amounting to any more than clangling cymbals in what the PLP is predicting to be a landslide PLP victory? Will those 5 to 7 independents simply not find themselves frustrated at the hands of an administration where, because there are now 7 independents, and because there are no rules to suggest how many members a cabinet can be made up of, Mr. Davis will simply superstack a cabinet. And when he walks across Bay Street, he will walk across with his agenda in tow. How exactly are you anticipating, in an instance where there is possibly a politically appointed Speaker of the House and not this independent one, that 7 independent members will make a difference in a superstack parliament?
Well, I believe, I am one person. I'm one independent member, and I think I am making a difference. You mm-hmm. know, I think Centerville is making a difference because I appreciate that they are supporting me. This one independent member bought 5 select committees in our notices of the House of Parliament. This one independent member, the independent member of Centerville, bought 2 petitions on behalf of the people. This one independent member brought education and awareness to the Public Accounts Committee. Mm-hmm. This one independent member brought awareness to Questions and Answers Day on Wednesdays, which I believe governments tried to keep away from us. And so I brought it to the forefront to make sure that it was at least, at the very least, acknowledged, simply because this independent member believes in democracy mm-hmm. and believes in the rights of individuals to be represented and represented fairly based on their vote and their commitment to a process. Mm-hmm. So when you look at a coalition, I think it's, the word coalition, it's a process. Mm-hmm. But this whole process of making the Bahamas a better place, making our parliament more responsible, making our leaders more respectful of our people is, it is a phenomenon mm-hmm. because culturally we have had to depend on so much while we get so little.
Yeah.
And so where we're at now is, you know, we're educating ourselves and we're opening up our minds. We want to be able to think. What I'd like to encourage individuals to do, professionals especially, to start looking at the bigger picture. Mm-hmm. I really want accountants and lawyers to stop being a part of a rat race, mm-hmm. that is not in the best interest of the Bahamian people, because what we are doing is trickling down to the least of us. Mm. And I think we need to be responsible, more responsible when we go into a voting booth. And it can't be about a PLP or I'm diehard this or diehard that. Mm-hmm. I mean, diehard to me isn't even a phrase that we should be using in Bahamian politics, because we're all in this small island, these small islands, we're all related somehow, and we're here for the benefit of each other. And so we'll be working together to make sure that works.
Reese Shipman, thank you so much for being my guest today. How do people find you, just so that they know?
Well, you can find me. My email is reesechipman@hotmail.com. We're on Facebook, Centerville Constituency, and we're also at the Centerville Constituency office beginning full-time tomorrow at 601-7599. I appreciate all the people of Centerville. I love you. I'll be there. We're going to go for it, and we're going hard. Thank you very much.
All right, it's been Levin Miller. This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. I've been unleashed on your radio. But don't move, because this is Guardian. They're the station for fresh news and smart talk all day, so they've got news next.